Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two black men are arrested at Starbucks and sparks fly. Think you know what it's all about? Think again. The Monica Perez Show starts now. This is Monica Perez, your libertarian voice on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB, usually Saturdays from 3 to 6. Today we're on Sunday, noon to 3, so if you're hearing this on Sunday, it is live and we are open for business. But if you do normally listen to my show on Saturdays, you know that I try to go for the most interesting story of the week, the one that I think has the potential to change our world, one that is maybe has a hidden agenda. I try to pull back the curtain a little bit. And there are a few stories this week that I think are interesting, and maybe if by the end of the show, we can touch on some of the funny details that I've noticed about the Southwest Airlines accident. My producer in studio is Brad Binkley, and he does a lot of research. He has a high tolerance for listening to extreme left-wing propaganda, so I leave that to him, and he brings a lot of that to us, clips, tweets. He's also been following pretty closely Stacey Abrams specifically, but also the Georgia governor's race. And he's got an update on that. Some, I guess, details that aren't being covered, not only not covered, but not being, but being covered inaccurately in the news. So I maybe we'll try to get to that by the end of the show, maybe 2:30. But for me, the story that's been just all over the news 24/7 and with the same memes. We could, Binkley and I could play clips the whole time of all different people on all different stations, all different cable news or whatever, national shows on TV that say the exact same thing in the exact same words. There are clearly messages and memes that are being echoed. We've seen how that works. We've seen memos go out. There was a funny thing that Conan O'Brien did where he sent out a press release to whatever it was, 100 news stations around the country, and every single report used the same exact phrasing. So when I say it's in the memo, there's a memo and they're all reading it. So there is definitely an element of that. And it is all focused on race. I myself don't think that the real issue here, the real agenda items that are being pushed, are racial at all. I think they're using race as an excuse to do some other things. They love to exploit race, and they say that this is going to be meant to decrease racial tension. Of course, it does the opposite. We're going to get into all of that. First, let me just tell you real quick what we're talking about, because I, for one, don't generally, my instinct tells me to avoid the big propaganda-laden story of the week. If I was just a regular guy, I wouldn't listen to it. It annoys me. So maybe you're not following this, but I will tell you, I'll just give you a recap. You'll be able to follow along even without having seen the video or whatever. So there was a woman, Melissa or Missy DiPino, who tweeted out a video that she took from Starbucks when she saw two men being arrested, black men. The video shows the men being handcuffed and walked out of the restaurant. But in front and center of her video, even closer to her than these guys, is a white guy saying, "What did these guys do? They did nothing. They were waiting for me. And you're arresting them? This is discrimination," or something like that. Then there's another video from across the restaurant, which she later admitted was taken by a friend of hers. So I guess they weren't sitting together. That starts a little bit earlier. That starts, but still after the cops get there. So everything we're seeing is after the cops get there. So we really do not know why the cops were called, what behavior, what atmosphere was there, what context, nothing. We just don't know. What the men are saying is they came in, they asked to use the bathroom. They were told they could not because they were not paying customers. I found out in one article that actually the bathroom code is printed on the receipt, which is kind of a way to just limit it to customers. I think it sounds reasonable. They said, all right, they sat down. This is their story. They had outside water. They brought in bottles of water and they just camped out. But their story is basically, if I understood it correctly, that they were there for 2 minutes before the cops were called. And we just have no way of knowing that besides their word. As the scene's evolving in one of the videos, and the guy that they were there to meet starts saying, this is discrimination, this is discrimination, you're arresting them because they're black, the cop actually starts laughing or makes a sarcastic comment like, what are you talking about? Like, get out of the way. You know, like, this is just stupid. So the upshot is that all of this that you're hearing about this, what happened before, what the context was, doesn't actually come out in the videos. What you're seeing the video while people are talking over it. Well, whether, you know, it's Don Lemon or George Stephanopoulos, whatever, the people are talking over the video to make you think. And as people refer to it, the CEO guys, it's clear from the video what happened. It is not clear from the video what happened. And the only people who are telling us the story and putting in the details about how everybody else in there was, one gal had Gatorade, no one was buying anything, everybody was just camping out. All these stories about how these guys were behaving exactly like everyone else, yet they were the ones who got the cops called on them. That accounting comes from the woman with the video and the guys, and then plus the guys who were arrested, plus the white guy who's on the video. Now, so you have to think about, are these people totally... are they biased? Are they totally unbiased? Are they uninterested? Now, this woman has a marketing communications firm. So she said her friend was across the room. Maybe it's her employee. I don't know. She's in a business where she's kind of prepared for mass communication. And the guy that they were meeting, the real estate guy, I don't know who he is, but he seems to be a prominent real estate guy, buys school buildings. They're involved in the public school system there, him and his partner. His name is Andrew Yaffe. His partner is David Adelman. And I found a picture of Andrew Yaffe at a big fundraising event in the Hamptons in 2011 that Mitt Romney attended. So this guy has some presence, you know, not really media presence, but these, you know, I see that. I see people who are just not your ordinary run-of-the-mill people. People have a media presence or highly connected. And then I see something like this unfold where they're filling in the blanks for us, and I'm skeptical. Now, we can talk about the race issue if discrimination and perceptionism, as Jamie Foxx calls it, really exists. It definitely exists. I think a little baby will recognize somebody from his or her in-group, you know, who probably recognizes somebody from his own family, probably prefers that. Like, there is definitely some lizard brain immediate recognition of the in-group and the out-group. And we can talk about that. We can really get into that issue if you want, because that's what's being exploited, looking deep into yourself and finding that. That's why everyone's going to say, yeah, like, you know, there is some element of that. And we can talk about that as we unfold the agenda that is going to emerge from this. So, but for me, I'm convinced this was a publicity stunt of one kind or another. And that means it has a purpose. And let's see what purpose it is. Is it just simply nonstop PR for Starbucks, that any press, even bad press, is good for business? I don't know about that. Let's see what they have to say for themselves. I want to know what you have to say. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You could tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show. Like I said, my producer, Binkley, is here with lots of goodies in his bag of tricks. But I also, Binkley, I want to know, before I even dug into this myself, you suggested it was a publicity stunt, and you are not as quick to assume that kind of stuff as I am. For me, that's the default assumption. And maybe I go in there and try to justify that position. I don't know. But you had to kind of came at it from a different angle. What was your view?
Well, Howard Schultz, the guy who founded Starbucks and used to be the CEO of it, and he is also the guy who's going around doing a lot of the PR right now in response to this event. He has a history of using controversy to get media attention for Starbucks, like he did what was called the Come Together campaign in 2013 to encourage lawmakers to overcome gridlock in Washington. And then
our only hope is gridlock in Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He did one in 2015, which some people might remember, called the Race Together Cup Riding Campaign, where the story in the news was that the baristas, $10 an hour baristas, were going to have to start a national conversation with people waiting in line at Starbucks about race.
You know, I remember you mentioned that earlier. We did a podcast about this, kind of like a first impressions podcast earlier in the week. If you want to go to propagandareportdaily.com, you can listen to it. And you had mentioned that. And since then, I saw it in an article where they referred to that. Like, you know, how did it go? How did your talk about race thing go? It's like, not well. It did not go well. And I'm thinking it didn't go well because it was a terrible idea. And you actually, I think you convinced me that they didn't even really do it. Didn't you actually interview some of the employees at Starbucks and ask them how they were prepared for this push?
Yeah, I went to a bunch of Starbucks because I used to do freelance work there, and I talked to them, and they didn't even know it was going on, some of them, and others said, no, we don't have to talk to them. It was just to create news so that the media would talk about it.
Well, you actually had a couple of items of firsthand experience that I want to dig into. One is you do spend a lot, or you used to anyway, spend a lot of time in Starbucks. So I want to know, I do not hang out at the Starbucks. So I don't know what the protocol is. I know what it was like when I was going into regular stores. I mean, you could never use the bathroom if you weren't buying something, but I always think it's weird that people are allowed to camp out in Starbucks anyway. So I want to hear your experience with that. And I do want to hear about your experience. This is going to be later in the show, though, because I have some clips that are going to fold into it about you being falsely arrested. I want to talk about that. And I have some agenda items that I think are at play here that nobody else is talking about. So I want to hear what you have to say. 800-WSB-TALK. You could tweet at me at Monica Perez Show. But we're going to peel this onion one layer at a time after the break.
Monica Perez.
Well, no one's going to top that.
On News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It is 58 degrees outside the studio. It's overcast and kind of ominous outside. So it does not look good. But we are having fun. Sometimes it's nice to, I don't know, do your ironing, listen to some good talk radio when it's cloudy out. Overcast, looking like it's going to rain. But we're talking about, this is some good talk radio, because we're taking a very different approach to the story of the week, the scandal of the week, the outrage of the week, which is two guys were arrested for being in a Starbucks, and they were black, and it's being widely promoted that it was an act of racism. And I think there's a lot to that. So a lot to how they're bringing that out, what they're exploiting, what their purpose is. There's a lot of different agenda items. I think there's this concept that I came across about the in-group and the out-group. And if you've noticed, like at Little League or at your church or whatever, that those associations absolutely trump race. So you're absolutely, you know, those people, like, you're not thinking that. Outside of that, when you're dealing with strangers, I think it is inherent that you try to get certain clues as to if they're like or unlike you. And race is a part of that. A lot of things, sexual orientation is a part of that. Weight and you know, how somebody's dressed. All these things you're using as signals. So I want to start the conversation, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show. My producer here, Binkley, do you have a tweet that we can kind of launch our discussion with?
I do. I have one from AJ, who tweets, "I think the accusation of racism is a distraction away from the real problem, classism, which Starbucks is getting away with every day. Starbucks presupposes classism. If classism weren't a thing in the USA, Starbucks couldn't exist."
That's a lot. I actually agree that it's class, that actually even the race and the class issue is often confused, because there are some, like the demographics are different. But I think if it was a white homeless guy who smelled, like, he probably would not have lasted as long as those guys before the cops were called. But there's a lot to that. I want to peel that onion, and I want to talk about a little bit more about why it's being framed just the way it is and what you should expect to come out of it. 800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
Wow, that was intense.
On News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
I am your libertarian voice on WSB. Saturdays from 3 to 6 normally, but right now we are on live Sunday from noon to 3. And we are talking, as always, about the story of the week that seems to be significant for a policy reason. That's really what my whole thing is, peel back the veils, pull back the veils of the propaganda to see why the mainstream 24/7 national cable news focuses on one story and not another story. It's gotten to the point where I do not think that anything that gets multi-day coverage is there other than for a policy reason. It is there solely in order to influence you. That when I was growing up, people say, well, the news reflects what people want. They reflect, if you think it's bad, it's because we're bad. It's because we're stupid and shallow. That maybe was true back then. I don't know. Right now, it is always about a policy agenda. And if you do your own research, if you think critically, if you peel back the onion, you will see it too. So I'm going to tell you what I think. Absolutely happy to hear what you think about the issue of two guys getting arrested at Starbucks. The cops were called because they didn't buy anything and they were sitting there and the cry is that it wouldn't have happened if they weren't black. Problem is, we don't see what actually happened. We don't know what they said or what they did. We don't know what they provoked. And I'll say my producer Binkley is here. He always finds what's going on behind the scenes on the left. He's seen smoking guns for provocation. Actually, maybe we can play this clip later. But Binkley, remember when that was? Is it a congresswoman or a senator? Jane Schakowsky.
Schakowsky.
Right. So, and she's the one who's married to the guy who was on that.
Bob Kramer.
Yeah, the Project Veritas videos where he's like, hey, man, I've been to jail. I'm not doing anything wrong. Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't in jail, but he was busted big time. I think he was in jail.
He was in jail.
Yeah. So she said something like, you can find the clip in a second, but didn't she say something to the effect of, hey, if we can get cops pulling people out of wheelchairs, that would be just awesome.
She said, these images of cops pulling people out of wheelchairs are great for our movement, to a group of activists at a training session.
Okay, so when I hear that, I am not denying that people absolutely register what race you are, what weight you are, what class you are, the second they see you. And that does impact, in my opinion, how they interact with you. Sometimes it makes it better. Sometimes they overcompensate. You know, we're encouraged to overcompensate. But there is that stuff there, which is why this rings true to people, because you can look inside your soul and say, I did notice that guy was black. I mean, I could not help but notice that. Now, did it cause action? I don't know. But I'm sure it happens all the time, that recognition of How you classify people impacts how you interact with them. I'm sure of that. This actual thing, though, looks like a publicity stunt. And why do I think that's possible? Because Starbucks does stuff like that. There are more than one example of people on the left promoting agendas that call for agents provocateur. Actually, that Project Veritas video where her husband was featured, were talking about how they would send people in there, vulnerable-looking people, to get their faces punched. Right? Say that again?
It's called bird dogging.
Oh, really? Oh, I have to put that in my glossary. I have a great glossary on MonicaPerezShow.com that's just full of those kind of words. Remind me to put down bird dogging. So this is a completely par for the course. We can talk about the issue of this kind of bias. I'm fine with that. But you can't forget they're doing it for a reason. What's the reason? Because they don't like that and they think they can help us get past it and make a better society, a post-racial society. They're not looking for a post-racial society because in interview after interview, from law enforcement to the media to the victims are saying the time for words is over. You know, those are not people who are trying to promote a harmony. Those are people who are trying to spark unrest. But even that is not what I think the real agenda is. I actually think the real agenda has to do with, you know, this exact thing, the way Obama's Sandy Hook executive orders weren't about guns. They were about surveillance. It's like your classic misdirection. This, I think, is about how we treat private property. Like the blurring the lines between private and public property. That's where, and I'm gonna play some clips to demonstrate that I think that's what's really the primary objective here as far as what policies might change, not just Starbucks policies, but legal policies. So, Binkley, let's hear a tweet, get to some calls, and then we'll play some of these clips.
All right, we have a tweet from Greg who tweets, public bathrooms become ground zero in the opioid epidemic, and he links an article.
Yes, you can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show or call 800-WSB-TALK. That was something that you brought up to me earlier that is absolutely normal. People wouldn't realize that. My own personal experience, my family life, my upbringing in the suburbs of New York, I have had more than my fair share of exposure to the opioid epidemic, including deaths. And as a matter of fact, one of my in-laws, if you've listened to the show, you know that my sister died of a heroin overdose last year. But prior to that, an in-law of mine, an ex-in-law, I guess, died in a bathroom doing opioids, you know, like, and so that's a very common thing. And also, if you know anything about, actually, I have two relatives who died in the bathroom from that. You would not believe my story. It's so crazy. But anyway, and they fall asleep when they do it. So you really can't have bathrooms open to that in the inner cities. And I think that's why there aren't public bathrooms actually in inner cities, if I'm not mistaken. But what didn't you have some observation about that, Binkley? Are you aware of that personally, or what was your story?
Yeah, there was an epidemic of people going into Starbucks bathrooms and overdosing on heroin.
Oh, Starbucks specifically?
Yeah, I'm looking at an article from 2015 right now. I would be in there, and then somebody would go in, and they'd just be in there for like 3 hours.
Wow. So this is funny. I want to make an observation that's a little bit off point. But when we talk about the opioid thing, like, it affects me deeply. Like, I'm surprised at how it just messes with me because I have personal experience with it. So when you're talking about racial discrimination, I saw a quote, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, she's just a propaganda machine herself. But she said, you know, you can't understand if you're not a minority. And I believe that. And like, you can't understand real sexual harassment, sexual intimidation, if you're not a woman. You can't understand the real feeling of being physically in danger because someone is physically stronger than you. Like, that affects even in the workplace. You're, like, used to taking a subordinate position because there is in that lizard brain some fear. So I'm just saying, like, these things that are, like, deeply personal, I don't want to presume that I know how somebody else feels about it. That's why I'm talking about this thing in this way, because I think that it's a setup in order to prompt a bunch of agendas, not that there aren't real problems that we think we can understand, but I don't think we can. But we have enough of our own problems. Like, every single person has a problem. They can't understand what it's like to have to face injustice, you know, to face fears and insecurity. So, I mean, that's a launching off point for a conversation. So let's launch the conversation with John Incoming. Hi, John. You are on with Monica.
Okay. It has nothing to do with racism when they do these things. Racism is defined as I'm superior to you because of who I am in my race. This has to do with an agenda they want to put into effect because they don't like what you did. And it doesn't matter what it is. If they don't like what you did, they're going to call it racist.
Because I will say there is one thing that I noticed happening over and over again, something being said to Fox, you know, by people on Fox and CNN and everything. There's nothing worse than bigotry. So now, of course, you know, at the same time, I heard that I was reading an article that in India, they want to impose the death penalty on child rapists. I'm like, well, that's worse than bigotry. But if they make it so that there's nothing worse than bigotry and everybody has bigotry, even if they can't see it in themselves, then you really can exploit. You can call anybody guilty. I think that is in part what this is about, to make sure that everybody feels a certain level of guilt so that they can be exploited. So what else? Is that all you got?
Basically, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah,
it's like,
that, I think
bigotry,
that there
it is like,
yes,
what someone did. It's not racism. You know, it would be like, I live in Decatur. If I call up and ask to speak to John Lewis's people, they want to know where I live because I'm not a black person. And when I don't, you know, tell them that I live in a white neighborhood, they don't want to talk to me. I hate to inform you of that, but that's what happens.
I believe it happens in both ways. I mean, that's the thing, is that people could call in right now with story after story of this kind of racial bias, whether you're discriminated against or privileged by it, from every different perspective. It's this in-group, out-group thing that is real. And I actually feel like that, I've said this many times, that, like, that's what, that was the world-changing message of Jesus, was that you're not supposed to do that. The Good Samaritan, charity, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And the reason I think it's significant that I think that was his big message is that it's perhaps the root of all uncharity. And that is what he, you know, that's the hope, right, is that we are charitable towards each other. I think it's interesting to reflect on the on charity as a route to overcome this stuff, rather than maybe you know, putting your words aside and taking action. Let's try to look into our hearts, not to find the lizard brain unconscious bias, but to try to access charity to overcome that, which separates us from the lizards. Anyway, let me go to John in Kennesaw. John, you have 1 minute. You're on with Monica. Go.
I am boycotting.
You're cutting in and out, John. I got to put you on hold. I'll give you another chance later. So, yeah, let's cut to a break so we can get to give John some more time if he can get to a better cell. You can call me too, 800-WSB-TALK, 404-872-0750. You can tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show. And we're going to start playing some clips for you of what police, media, the actual people involved are saying, and what I think their real goals are, item by item. This we'll get back to that shortly. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
On News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
64 is the high for today, 56 the low overnight. Weekend weather is brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. I'm going to try to get back to John in Kennesaw. John, can I hear you?
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
ma'am. No problem. So talk to me. What you got?
Well, I feel like boycotting Starbucks because they fired the manager or the waitress that kicked the guys out.
Do you know that she was fired? I never heard anyone say that for sure.
I heard it on the news. I don't know that for sure. I just heard that one time, and that sort of infuriates me if that is the case, because when I go to an establishment, I don't want to go into a place where there are a bunch of people sitting, and I don't care if they're white or black. If they won't buy something, they come in with their own waters. They sit down. They take up space. I think the store has a responsibility to keep the environment free of people like that. When you own your own store, you can't have a bunch of people just hanging out.
Yes.
I don't see the difference in that and loitering.
Hold on. There's a lot there, John. Actually, I feel like that the things that you're talking about are the real underlying agenda here, and I have a lot of clips that I'm going to play in the next half an hour or maybe hour that brings out this idea that a public place does not have the right to control who comes and goes, that you shouldn't, that your bathroom should be open to the public, that you shouldn't be able to call the police to control that. And so I feel confident that is part of the agenda. However, I'm not 100% sure why. Is it to diminish property rights? Is it to get people to stop calling the cops so that crime gets worse? Is it to get people to be allowed to use opium in bathrooms, or is it simply to penalize a little single store owner who really can't handle that, whereas Starbucks could handle it? So Starbucks could keep upstarts from coming in if every little mom and pop shop, and they can even send people to overrun the mom and pop shops. You know what I'm saying? Like, there could be some kind of corporate purpose to this too.
That's true. And if I went into an establishment and just sat down and started talking with my buddy, and if somebody came and said, hey, you have to buy something, instead of causing the scene, I'd say, oh, sorry about that, and I'd get up and leave. There's certain groups of people that just want to cause a problem.
But that's
the thing. They told those guys to leave, and they should have left.
What do you mean by certain groups of people?
People that are just aggravating type, troublemaking people. It doesn't matter who they are or what they are. Just like I'm saying, if you tell me to leave, then I'm going to leave. But I have a brother-in-law. If you told him to leave, he'd want to cause a problem.
Yeah, I actually think in this case, it's even more calculated than that, in that I believe these people, all of them, the woman and her friend who took the two videos, the two guys who got arrested, and the guy they were supposedly meeting, I feel like they're all working for Starbucks, because you're not hearing any... You know, it's all feeding into action, 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 action. So it's your classic problem, reaction, solution. And in my experience these days, that's almost always ginned up from the beginning. 800-WSB-TALK, tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show. More to come.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.